Hey, we are on the air.
Blog Talk Radio.
I cannot find my phone or touchscreen busted on it. So right now, I'm having to use the microphone. So please bear with us tonight. Ron, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing real good. Went to the Nashville Comic Con on Friday. Had a great time. Met Sergeant Slaughter, Jim Cornette, Jim Starlin, and you know they were all class act.
Oh, really? Oh, Jimmy Cornette was there, huh?
Yeah, I talked to him. I bought the DVDs and the book. You tell he's still a fan of wrestling.
Yeah. Is he still with Ring of Honor?
No, I think he quit a couple of months ago. I think things at Ring of Honor are kind of blowing up, and I think they were just trying to scapegoat him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I think they were. You know, I watched the show with him, and I thought it was better than it used to be. It seemed more structured, and as far as like a four-man television show, I thought it was a lot better.
Oh, it was? Yeah.
That's just me, but I never watched a lot of Ring of Honor. You know, for some reason, I could never get into it.
Yeah, well, I can't get it. So, you know, all I know about it is what I see or what I hear from other guys on the internet. The last thing I heard anything about Ring of Honor was last year when Adam Pearce was supposed to put his belt up against the Ring of Honor champion. I don't even remember how that came out. I know Adam retained the title, however he did it.
I can't remember, you know, because the last thing I heard about him was, you know, he had that big falling out with NWA.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it. I'm going to see Adam tomorrow night. The only thing that I've heard about it was that he took the strap off and laid it in the middle of the ring and said he was done. I have no idea what it's about. He hasn't responded to any of my questions.
Well, I was looking it up, and it seems like, because, you know, the NWA is not really structured like a real promotion. They got all these bylaws things, and it sounds like some lawyer slipped in and kind of big boyed the operation.
Yeah. When I was in California last year, I kind of got wind. I was out there doing some consulting work for a couple of the little smaller things out there. But I was in San Diego. And I was able to meet Adam when I was in San Diego, because that's where he lives. And he was telling me that I was inquiring about maybe, you know, doing some work for them. And he was saying, well, right now it's just not a good time. And I said, well, why not? He said, I can't go into that right now. But he said, right now it's just not a good time. You'd be wasting your time to even walk in the door up there. And then I find out that, he gave up his strap and walked out. They took the straps off the Dark City Fight Club, and Tasha Simone, she quit. Well, she hadn't really quit, but she lost her belt, and she's not really that much interested in getting back into as far as holding a championship or anything. So, you know, the NWA is going through a lot of changes. You know, we have a card set up. I'm getting the most ungodly noise. Do you hear it?
Yeah, I don't know if that's coming from my end or yours. I hadn't heard it before, so it might be something on your end. Again, I had my cell phone, but my cell phone's in the process of dying, and I can't get the touchscreen to work at the moment. So I'm having to use this from Gmail.
Okay, well, anyway.
Yeah, so it might be me.
Yeah, well, thankfully it's gone away now. You know, I've got a show lined up here in Corinth next week, and we had an NWA Southern Heavyweight Championship match scheduled. I did a lot of dirty intent.
Are you outside?
No, I'm inside.
Okay, it's probably just coming from my end right now. I'm having to use the laptop, and it's in my lap.
Yeah.
You know, because we got a high-tech operation here, you know, but I'm having to keep the laptop on my lap, and I think it's picking up any time I even shift moderately.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying, we had an NWA Southern Heavyweight Championship match scheduled after a lot of pleading and begging, and they finally agreed. I had to submit some names, out of the three names I submitted, one was Donnie Bass. And they accepted his name and granted us the championship match. And then right after, you see, Donnie had a stroke in Raymer a little less than 2 weeks ago. So I had to change the card, and Ricky Morton contacted me and wanted to step in. And I said, fine, that'd be great. The NWA found out that Donnie was not going to be wrestling for the title and that Ricky was, and then all of a sudden, you know, they jerked the title situation away from us. Now, Gary Valiant, the champion, he's still going to be at our show, but as it stands right now, the NWA says we cannot have the title match. So I don't know what's going on with that organization.
And I don't know what the problem would be with Ricky Morton.
I don't see what the problem is with Ricky Morton either, unless the fact they're just afraid that Ricky may bring the strap home to us.
Yeah, you know? I don't understand. Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to, you know, because sometimes they get like, you know, these promotions get like that, you know, they're trying to big boy everything.
Well, yeah, and the AWA, the NWA was all the same when it come to, in promotion championship match. In the old days, you had to be an NWA or an AWA affiliate, and then you had to pay a booking fee to get the world champion into your area. And you could only get him when his schedule would allow him to be in certain parts of the country at certain parts at a certain time. And a lot of times the booking fees were really, really high. I even offered a booking fee for this match, and they turned me down. So I have no clue what their problem is, if it's with me, if it's with higher-ups in the NWA, or if it's with Gary Valiant or Ricky Morton, or what the problem is. However, I do need to say this. I found a picture that was posted on my NCWA webpage of Gary Valiant and Jimmy Hart together in the same picture. And that kind of makes you think something's not quite on the up and up.
You mentioned Don Bass earlier, because, you know, I was reading about that where he had a stroke. Now, Don Bass, he was a Memphis mainstay, wasn't he? Didn't he wrestle with Dirty Rhodes?
He wrestled with Dirty Rhodes as tag team
partner.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, they also did, together, they were the Assassins that worked the area. Because, you know, back in those days, there was smaller territories. You know, you had Burn Gagne, you had the AWA up in the mid-central, north-central part of the country, and then you had the NWA, which was run by Jim Crockett in the southeast part of the country. And but here in the, what we call the Mid-South, in Jarrett Promotions, Donnie Bass and Dirty Rhodes did just about every mass gimmick we had come through there. They were Fire, Flame, and Torch. They were the Assassins. They were the Intern. They were the Medics. And the thing about it is, when they would switch from one gimmick to another, the fans never even knew it until they lost their mask in whatever stipulation type match it was.
But is he doing better now?
Yes, I talked to him yesterday. Now, Donnie suffered a stroke, had a blood clot on the left side of his brain. He was here in the hospital here in Corinth, Mississippi for, about a week. And they gave him some medicine to dissolve that clot. But he has two more clots somewhere around his heart. And they're going to have to go in a catheter through an artery in his leg and up to his heart to remove those. But when I talked to him yesterday, he seemed like he was in good spirit. He was the same old Donnie I've always known, except for the fact that his speech was a little bit slurred. And, you know, that's usually a side effect of having a stroke.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, he's doing pretty good. You know, Donnie is a pizzaholic, and he loves his pizza, but I guess he's going to have to find some greens and stuff to greens and beans and okra and corn and some fresh vegetables to eat, you know.
Yeah. I'll tell you, those blood, you know, blood clot on the brain, that's some nasty business. I remember back in 96, you know, my daddy, he had an aneurysm on his brain.
Oh,
and
Lord,
he actually,
God.
He had two in a week. And, you know, he went around saying he had a headache for days, and we didn't really believe him because, you know, at first we thought he was just trying to get pills or something.
Yeah.
But then he walked
yeah.
to the hospital, and the doctor didn't believe him until they x-rayed him, and they flew him to Huntsville, and somehow he lived through two surgeries in 3 days.
Wow.
You know, and
you
he
know,
lived
it,
for another...
It was lucky they got to him in time.
Yeah, because he'd been like a week late. If he'd been like a few hours late, he'd probably died.
Yeah, I had a sister that worked at one of the casinos in this part of the country. And she worked with a girl that had just turned 30 years old about a week before. One of the waitresses, real pretty girl, had two kids, single mother. And she asked my sister if she would, she asked my sister if she would watch her station because she had a terrible headache. And she went out in the break room, and as soon as she sat down, she fell over in the chair, fell over in the floor dead from a ruptured aneurysm.
Yeah, it's some it's scary how fast it could happen. So I'm real happy that Mr. Bass is doing good.
Yeah, we all are. He was telling me that he'd gotten so many phone calls while he was up there that the nurse had to start cutting the switchboard off.
Yeah. Now I'm looking at cards. You've got a pretty stacked up card coming up because you got Bill Dundee wrestling it. How many
Bill,
times has he worked for you?
Bill has worked for me several times. Bill and I have been partners before. Bill is really a good guy, but he's not going to be on this card this time. Now, however, he did tell me that if he's not doing anything, he's probably going to show up down there. And, of course, that'd be great just so the fans could meet him and talk to him and see him again. That little Austin it don't seem like he's ever going to put his boots up.
Now, I was also looking now, you do have Doug Gilbert coming up on the show, right?
Yes, I got Doug. Doug is going to be there. I talked to Tommy Gilbert, his dad. Tommy said that he might even show up down there, so that would be a nice surprise for the fans too.
I had Doug on the show about a month or two ago, and he was a great guy. I mean, just really friendly and open, and he just like he remembers so much wrestling. Sometimes I've talked to people and they can't remember stuff they've done, but Doug had such a great mind for wrestling, and like he could remember everything he'd done.
Yeah, Doug is he's really a cool dude. I like Doug a lot. You know. But we also have some of the other guys, too, from that day. We got Tommy Rich coming in. Of course, like you said, Ricky Morton. And we got, from the WWF, remember the tag team of Men on a Mission?
Oh, yeah, they're one of my favorites.
Well, Sir Mo is going to be in here. In fact, he's the one that has challenged Tommy Rich. Well, I can't say he challenged Tommy Rich. He sent an open challenge to us, and I put it out to the guys, and Tommy was the first one to answer it, so I booked a match, and we're just going to see how much Big Mo can dish out to Tommy and how much Tommy can dish right back to Big Mo, Sir Mo, whatever you want to call him. I think that's going to be probably the best match of the night.
Let me ask you, go back for a minute, how long have you been promoting wrestling?
I've been promoting I promoted back in the 90s up to about 2001, and then I quit for a while. I just started this company here. In fact, this show is our debut show. This is the first show of the NCWA. And since we are a brand-new company, we don't even have a champion. You know, it's not like I'm going to go and find me somebody and hand them a belt and say, hey, you are our NCWA United States champion. That's not the way we do things. Since we don't have any champions, I'm pushing a tournament. And this tournament is going to stretch over several months. I've got verbal contracts, let's say, on guys from all over the country. There's Taboo, The Natural, Chase Stevens. I'm trying to think who all of them. Jamie Dundee. The Barbarian. Remember?
Yeah, I love that.
Howard the Bane. Yeah, he's going to be in this tournament. We've sent invitation to Austin Idol. He wants a lot of money to come in. I don't know if he's actually thinks he's worth the amount of money he wants to come in, but, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes and put the pencil to the paper and see how the numbers are going to be and decide from that. I've also got Adam Pierce. We've been talking to Adam. He's going to make an appearance in our tournament, too. But this is really going to, you know, I hope this is really going to take off and be something big. We're trying our best to get back to the old school form of wrestling and get away from this stuff that you see on Monday nights and Friday nights. To me, when they put the word entertainment on there, that's basically what they're talking about, because it's definitely not old school wrestling.
I tell you, though, sometimes all after I get done watching it, I can't call it entertainment either.
Do what now? I didn't understand you.
I said sometimes it's bad enough. I don't really want to call it entertainment.
I go along with that. I'll definitely go along with that. You know,
yeah, now,
go ahead.
I was wondering, how do you feel, because sometimes promotions will do a battle royal to have a champion and versus the tournament. I know that, you know, old school, you know, a lot of the old school promoters, they didn't like doing that, using battle royal.
Well, a battle royal is fine, but you're not really giving the guys the opportunity they want, you know, because you start out with, say, 15 guys in the ring. Everybody wants to team up on everybody, and some of the younger guys, even though they're experienced enough and are good enough to get in there and wrestle for a title, they're not getting the opportunity because, you know, they get teamed up on by a couple of the guys and get thrown out. And this way with a tournament, everybody gets a fair shake. Everybody gets a match. If they win their match, they progress. If they lose their match, they're out. You see?
I was wondering, you know, because I'm really curious about promoting wrestling, you know, because I see, you know, people doing it. How hard is it to get things, get even one show set up?
Do I have what now?
How difficult is it to set up even one wrestling show?
It's not simple at all. You either have to find the sponsors, or you either have to have money. When you've got to find a suitable venue. Oh, Lord. The biggest and most important thing is find a suitable venue. And that means it covers a lot of area. You need adequate floor space to be able to set up a ring and chairs. You need a concession stand of some kind or an area to set up a concession stand. You need restrooms. You need handicap access. And on top of that, you need adequate parking. So that's one of the biggest problems we had here in Corinth, was trying to find a suitable venue.
Now, that's in Mississippi, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I finally got lucky and got into the National Guard Armory. We're having this show on the 24th. I had scheduled shows again for June the 7th and June the 21st, but I was told yesterday that this particular battalion or whatever they're called here would be leaving the 1st of June to go on training maneuvers and that the facility would be shut down till the middle of July. So now I have the opportunity and the unfortunate task of getting out here finding another venue if I want to keep my shows going. I really don't want to shut down for 6 weeks, because then all of the fans that came out to the first show, you know, 6 weeks, they're gonna forget about everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not easy running a promotion. And then another thing you need to consider is the talent. Who do you want to bring in? You can't just take a bunch of young guys that are just now out of school, and because they'll work for cheap money, and put them in the ring, put up a few posters, and hope to draw with it. You know, you've got to bring in some talent that, popular. And as you know, I don't know if you know about the Memphis area or not, but the Memphis area back in the 80s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s, well, let's back it up. Let's just say the 70s and 80s was probably the most popular area in the country for wrestling. I can remember the Mid-South Coliseum selling out 56 consecutive weeks in a row. I mean, turning people away at the number. And there's been no other promotion in the United States in the history of small promotions has ever done that.
Yeah, it's like, because you see those shows, you know, I'm actually going through the Jim Cornette book, the Midnight Express book.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the first part's Memphis, you know, so you see the gates that they were getting.
Yeah. We were getting,
you know, and it's hard to imagine any promotion doing that now.
Well, 11,000 people every week on a Monday night. Not a weekend night, but a Monday night, a weeknight, but a Monday night on top of it. And there would be times, you know, they would have their TV show on Saturday, and from that would lead up to what matches were going to be Monday night. So you had from 12:30 on Saturday till 8 o'clock Monday night to get your ticket. And of course, I don't even think that the ticket office was open on Saturday. So that would leave the ticket office being open Monday morning at 10 o'clock, and they would sell out 11,000 seats by bell time.
You know, I live in Alabama. You know, I'm in Decatur, Alabama, and I remember my mama, you know, she would tell me about being a little girl, and she would talk about how much big deal it was when wrestling came to Huntsville. Yeah, because she was back in that day. That was back when Memphis, you know, the Tennessee territory was going through Alabama.
Yeah, I think Jim Crockett runs some in Alabama, too, with the NWA shows.
Yeah.
But Memphis covered some Alabama territory. In fact, they kind of did some co-promotion things with Robert Curley's Continental Wrestling Federation.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first wrestling show I ever went to.
Yeah, they did some co-promotions with them. But Memphis stretched out. It was Memphis on Monday night, Evansville on Tuesday night, Louisville on Wednesday night, or vice versa. I can't remember. It may have been the other way around. Thursday night, I believe they were off, and then Friday night they had a house show somewhere. Saturday morning TV, and then there would be another house show Saturday night, and then occasionally there would be a show on Sunday afternoon. So, guys stayed really busy. They stayed on the road quite a bit, but they packed the houses out everywhere they went. Sure, go ahead.
Never mind. You finish.
It's a shame that Memphis wrestling got to the point to where it was and died like it did. So I know the reasoning behind it, but, you know, maybe I'll not go there. Oh, yeah, why not? Memphis wrestling started going downhill right after Jerry Jarrett sold out his part to Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler, God bless his soul, made a couple of bad business decisions, and then another one of the worst decisions he made was teaming up with Corey Macklin, and that's when they started doing the Memphis Wrestling again. Corey Macklin just absolutely ruined Memphis Wrestling, just run it straight to the ground.
Now, would this have been the early 2000s?
Somewhere around 2005, 2004, because, see, Randy Hales took it over at first after Jerry Jarrett sold out, and Lawler, I'm not going to sit here and lie, I'm not really sure of what the agreement between Randy Hales and Lawler was. Randy Hales, he tried. He had a big heart, and he wanted to make the show do something. But it just something just wasn't there. When Jerry Jarrett sold out his part, that's when it started going downhill. There was just something not there that Jerry put there that Lawler and Randy Hales and Corey Macklin and anybody else just could not provide the fans. And they got tired of it and left, and they quit going, and they ended up shutting down the door.
Yeah, I remember I was reading, or I was listening to an interview Jerry Lawler did back in 2001, and that was when the WWF was giving money to Power Pro, and, after Lawler quit for about 6 months, WWF pulled their money instantly, and they said that they never really quite recovered from that.
Well, yeah. I can't go into that part of it. I can't say anything about that. I know the dealings behind it, but when you make, I'll put it to you this way: when you make somebody that you do business with or a business partner makes a deal, and you don't fulfill your end of it, first of all, it makes your partner look bad, and second of all, you lose whatever it is that got set up. And basically, if you listen to what I'm saying, one side of it wasn't fulfilled, and the other side says, well, if that's the way it's going to be, you're fine. We'll just take our stuff and go. We'll take our toys and go home.
Now, with your show coming up, you mentioned that you're working with the Wounded Warrior Project.
Right. Now, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because I was making sure to.
Yeah. Let me explain to the people that don't know what the Wounded Warrior Project is. These heroes, our brothers and sisters that go off and fight these wars, some of them senseless wars, they come back without an arm, without a leg, being badly burned, or not, we would just say, for lack of a better term, not the same way they left here. And not only is it bad for them physically, there's a lot of mental problems involved in stuff like that. And the government, oh, Lord, I do not like my government. I love my country, but I don't care for my government. And I'm not going to back up when I say it. The government has a bottom line. And these soldiers get to take advantage of certain things that the government provide for them. But when they get to that bottom line, that's it. And some of these people are not, they're not ready to be cut loose, so to speak. They still need help. They need psychological help, or they need some medical help or something, And that's where the Wounded Warrior Project comes in. These people, this is a nonprofit organization, and they step in and help these soldiers that can't get any more benefits from the government, whether they need a prosthetic limb or some psychological evaluations or help or, you know, just whatever these people need. The Wounded Warrior Project provides this stuff for those guys and girls when the government just cuts them off.
That's a very good cause, and it's doing God's work.
Yeah, yes, it is. I never was in the service. I had intended on going to the service in my younger day, but, you know, when you get the smell of perfume and gasoline, you know, things, your mind changes.
Yeah, my grandpa, yeah. he fought in World War II. He was a gunner on a Navy ship.
Then I see. Well, I've got a friend of mine that's, he's 86 years old. He joined the Navy when he was 15 years old. But he was over 6 foot tall at 15 years old, and they didn't. He had told him, he lied and told him he was 17. And he went in at 15 and stayed in for, I think it was 12 years in the Navy. But he's told us a bunch of stories about, you know, being on those aircraft carriers and those Jap dive bombing the aircraft carriers, trying to sink them with their kamikaze missions and that kind of stuff. And, you know, he's got some interesting stories.
I remember Grandpa told me, you know, I'd heard a story that he said that he figured at the time, because it's like a little bit after Pearl Harbor, and he said he figured he was going to be drafted anyway. So him and his friends, they all signed up together because they thought that if they signed up together, there'd be a chance they could stick together.
Yeah.
But he said the first thing they did in basic training was that they were all split up. Now, when is your show's going to be this Saturday?
No, it's a week from tomorrow.
Okay. What date is that?
It's the 24th, Friday, next week.
Okay, May 24th. What time is bell time?
Bell time is at 8. The doors open at 7. You'll be able to come in and meet some of the stars and get you some autographs and take some pictures and all that stuff. We'll have a special presentation of the veterans, all the veterans that show up. We're going to get them up and recognize those people. In case you didn't know, May is Military Appreciation Month, and we're just glad to be doing this for, you know, the soldiers' benefit.
Thank you for doing it. How much are tickets to get in?
Tickets are, advanced sales are $10. But I've had a hard time trying to find somebody that wants to get involved with doing the advanced ticket. They just don't want to be responsible for the money, is what I've been told. So I've set up a advanced ticket will call. And what that is, if you will contact me on my Facebook page, Ron Fargo, and inbox me your name and how many tickets you want, I will set aside those tickets, reserve those tickets, and you can pick those tickets up at the door for the advanced ticket price. Otherwise, the tickets are $12 at the door. And children under 5 are free.
Okay. Have you tried setting up a PayPal account?
No, I haven't. I had thought about it, but I've just been so busy I hadn't had time to check into it.
Yeah, I understand. We're about to be running out of time soon because they cut us off on recording. Good luck on the show. I hope it all goes very well. And you're welcome back.
I appreciate it. I just want to tell everybody, you know, if you know a soldier, if you know somebody was wounded in the war, if you know somebody that the government is just not helping anymore, come on out and support us, and so we can raise more money for the people.
Ron, you have a great night.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll be back sometime next week.